Thank you, Margie. I appreciate all the words that you said so much. Colleen and I are just delighted to be back here at Epworth a third time. I can hardly believe it. And we are looking forward to a nice week at your guest house, and we appreciate your accommodations. So thank you so much. It is just great to be here. I was reading up on a little bit of history of Epworth, and I found out that in the early days, some of you might not even know this, there was a slogan that became the motto. It was look up and lift up. And then sometime later, somebody added hurry up to it. And I have a feeling it was because some of the preachers talked too long, maybe. I don't know for sure. I am really grateful also for another reason to be here this week. I'm just back from northern Kenya, and I'm grateful not to be sick. I got to tell you the truth. I had some unidentifiable food, including a goat roast that was thrown in my honor on the last night, and I'm just glad to be healthy and glad to be back. I bet you've never done that here at Epworth, have a goat roast. You know, I'm also thankful because we drove through a lot of deserts where really the roads were not that clear, and we flew on some small planes and larger planes, and we also flew a long time just to get to Nairobi. How many of you love long airplane flights? Yeah, one person, sir. That's interesting, yeah. Because some of the flights were like 8 and 9 hours, you know, and the thing that makes them a little bit better these days is that, with the newer planes, there's a TV screen built into the seat in front of you so you can actually watch movies. And I caught up on all the Oscar nominations that I didn't get to see last year, you know, so that was kind of fun. One time, Colleen and I were flying to South Korea, and that was enough years ago, they didn't have the built-in screens, they just had one bigger screen, you know, about every 10 rows had their own screen, you had to watch it, and we went over the Sea of Japan, and there was a great deal of turbulence, the plane was shaking all over, and the movie that they were showing was the Titanic. This was not a good thing to be watching right then, you know, the two are up there in the bow of the ship, I have a pilot friend that goes to Cornerstone. He was telling me one time that he was sort of daydreaming. I hate to say that because he's an American Airlines pilot, but he was landing the plane, and they do it so often, and the landing was a little harder than he thought. It bumped pretty hard when they landed. And he said at that moment he wished they didn't have that airline rule where the pilot has to open the door and say goodbye to all the guests. You know, he just wanted to stay inside his little cabin, but everyone filed out. Nobody said a word about the hard landing, and he thought, "Whoa, I made it!" And there was one elderly woman still there. She was waiting for a wheelchair to be brought on, and finally, she came shuffling up the aisle toward the wheelchair, and she said, "Sonny, can I ask you a question?" He said, "Sure." She said, "Did we land or were we shot down?" So it's good to be grateful, right? At Cornerstone, this whole year, we have one theme. And we're not preaching on it every weekend, but we have a theme called Live Grateful. And it really has been a kind of an interesting thing to go through a whole year with one theme. And it's begun to change some attitudes, some ways people do things, how they think about things. We wear little wristbands that say Live Grateful. We even have T-shirts that say I am grateful. In fact, I brought some of them with me today, and I doubt if this has ever been done at Epworth. Has anyone ever thrown T-shirts out to the crowd? I wanted to be remembered, and so I have three of them. I'd like you to think of your first name and the first letter of your first name, the first person that can tell me authentically something they're grateful for that starts with the first letter of their first name. You have to shout it out. And what's your name, ma'am?
Carrie.
Carrie Kindness. This is yours. God bless you. I'm reluctant to throw things, too, because the last time I tried this, I hit the one lady with poor eyesight. I hit her right in the head of all people who couldn't see it coming. Someone else. Oh, we have a runoff now between you two. What was yours? Jesus. Janet and Jesus. And yours was sympathy and... Okay, really fast, first letter of your last name, something you're authentically thankful for. I think she got it. She's in church. She said Jesus. She figured she couldn't go wrong. Okay, there you go. Nice catch. This last one I actually have reserved for our hosts for the weekend, Mark and Chris Nolak back there. And I only have one shirt, so you guys are going to have to fight it out. I'm reluctant to throw it that far, so if you guys could just pass that back to the Nolaks, we'd appreciate it. Anyway, thank you for hosting us, and it is great to be here. You know, if you were to Google the word Thanksgiving or gratefulness, you would find or look in something like Bible Gateway, which is a search engine for Bible verses, you'd find that it's a concept all through the Bible that God's very, very serious about. In fact, God is so serious about thankfulness, and the theme is so prominent all the way through the Bible, that God even built into the system of worship in the Old Testament a sacrifice that was a sacrifice of thanksgiving. And so at least periodically, the Israelites had to come and offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving because it was that important not to forget to be grateful. In fact, David gives reference to this in Psalm 116. He says, I will offer to you a sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord. And that's what he's talking about. It's this ancient practice of just living gratefully. You know, we are surrounded by so much pessimism and so much negativity and so much anger, it seems like. Believe me, I was just driving in Nairobi. I wasn't driving. A driver was driving me in Nairobi. The traffic is like this. And I thought to myself, if that would have been in this country, people would have been shooting each other. There's so much road rage. But Africans are gentle people. They just let each other go. And I don't know how the cars stay driving. I have no idea. But they seem to work it out. There's so much entitlement. There's so much anxiety. How many folks are struggling with anxiety? I'm sure a lot of you probably are. So much sarcasm. Even our comedy, our late night comedy is all sarcasm these days. Gratefulness is such a great thing. You know, it's easy to become complaining and negative and discouraged. It affects every age. In fact, tonight at Vespers, now, the last time I came here, there were about 30 people at Vespers, and some of you may have never been there. It's 8:30 tonight. I really encourage you to come, because I want to share a little bit about an Old Testament story about complaining. And if you have anybody in your family that likes to complain, bring them tonight. And so 8:30, it's going to be fun. And then tomorrow, actually, on Monday morning, I want to share a little bit about how the Methodists, because this was a Methodist place, at least in historically, how they got their name. Because the Methodists, it was not a denomination. It was not even a church. It was a movement when it started. And there was a great spiritual awakening that happened that birthed the Methodist movement. I want to talk a little bit about that tomorrow morning, so I hope you come to that too. But you know, there's so much negativity. And gratefulness sometimes is just almost like out of place. In fact, somebody told me this story. There were these four elderly guys out on the golf course, and three of them were complaining. And one said, you know, the fairways are just getting longer and longer, and my knees are killing me. And the second one said, these hills are steeper and steeper, and I'm out of breath. And the third one said, and these sand traps, man, they are wider every year. The fourth guy said, and he was the oldest. He was in his late 80s. He said, gentlemen, just be grateful we're on this side of the grass. You know, there is always something to be grateful about. So I think I'd like to focus on that just for a few minutes, because I believe that grateful people, in fact, one new study out of Columbia University said that grateful people are healthier people, they are happier people, they live longer, they are more optimistic, they have more friends, they meet challenges better, they solve problems faster, and they have a stronger sense of self-esteem. So maybe God was right. Maybe it's something we ought to focus on a little bit more. Happiness, it turns out, is not so much about accumulation like we thought it was. It's about appreciation. But here's the problem. Gratefulness is sometimes relegated to the idea that, well, I just got to change my attitude. And it's more than that. It doesn't affect your attitude, but it's more than an attitude. It has a lot to do with practice. and actually practicing gratefulness. Preachers love to use this title, the attitude of gratitude. How many times have you heard a sermon like that? But it's actually, there's a lot more to gratitude than just an attitude. There is a current author, her name is Brené Brown, and she's actually more of a research sociologist. She's written a great book called The Gifts of Imperfection. And here's a quote from that book. She said, "When it comes to gratitude, the word that jumps out at me in all the research that I have done is practice, not attitude. This is a shocking call to action. An attitude is a way of thinking, but it doesn't always translate into practice. But gratitude is something that has to be spoken and expressed." If you say, "I just want to be a more grateful person," that'll probably fade as fast as your New Year's resolutions did in about 3 weeks. But if you begin to practice gratitude and actually verbalizing it, communicating it, expressing it to other people in your family, expressing it to other people maybe here at Epworth or your colleagues at work, it'll start to change the atmosphere of all those different places where you spend most of your life. When we express gratitude, we bless other people, and in turn, we get blessed. One marriage study that I read recently said that the most significant way to have a great marriage is to use simple words of kindness. The simple things that we forget to do. "Thank you for doing the laundry. Hey, I appreciate you taking care of the outside of the house and cutting the grass. When do we ever do that? Thank you so much for fixing my car, just making sure the oil was changed and keeping it going. I appreciate that." It builds strong bonds in a marriage. So I want to walk you through just really quickly three levels of gratitude. And I'd like you to evaluate yourself and to say, which level am I in right now? I think you're going to see three distinct ones, and they're all from Scripture. So I want to start with an Old Testament one that comes out of the book of Deuteronomy, fifth book in the Old Testament. If you want to look it up, you don't have to, but it's Deuteronomy chapter 8. Let me put the context for you. Moses comes along about 1400 BC to 1200, we're not quite sure of the years, and Israel has been in captivity in Egypt for 400 years. For four or five generations, they've been prisoners of the Egyptians, and God's like, "But I promised you this land. I need to get you back there." So he sends Moses and his brother Aaron, and they lead people out of Egypt through a series of miracles. It's an incredible story. And they get to the edge of the promised land, and they're about to enter in. Now, Moses is going to die there, but he gives them some last instructions before they're ready to go into the promised land. And this is what he says. He says, "For the Lord your God is bringing you to a good and a land that's good and with flowing streams and pools of water, with fountains and springs that gush out of in the valleys and the hills." Honestly, I've been to northern Kenya, and it's a lot like Judea. And it's a place where if you could see a spring coming out of the water, you were like, "Whoa!" You would be unbelievably grateful because it is so dry. "It's a land of wheat and barley and grapevines and fig trees and pomegranates and olive oil and honey. It's a land where the food is plentiful and nothing is lacking." This is what Moses is. He's given it to the folks just before they enter in. "It's a land where iron is as common as stone and copper is as abundant in the hills. And when you've eaten your fill," get this part, "be sure to express gratefulness to the Lord, your God, for the land that he's given you." It's kind of like this. Let's put it in a modern context. This is what Moses is saying. Now listen, gang. Now, I want you to be super careful that when things start going really well for you, when your life kind of settles down, and you settle into a good job with a good salary, or your 401k is really growing and it's at a record high right now, you live in a nice neighborhood, remember God brought you to this place. Don't get to thinking that you did this yourself, because we always want to go that direction. We accomplished this. We're successful. I did it. And Moses is going, "No, wait a minute, don't do that. Express gratitude," he says, "for the good land that I've given you." This is what I call the first level of gratitude, and it's a good place to start. It's called the provision level. The provision level, because Moses says this. Let me read that one verse again. When you've eaten your fill, be sure to praise or to express gratefulness for the Lord God, to the Lord God, for the good land that He's given you. Say this out loud. For the. You see, this is the provisional level. This is for the provisions you've given. Whenever anybody thinks about gratefulness, if I were going around this room and say, what are you grateful for? Most of you would say something like, for the family I have, for the friends I have here at Epworth, for the cottage that I was able to remodel last year, whatever. It's for the. That's where we start with gratefulness, for the provisions. Moses says this is an important, remember, the Israelites are like, at square one spiritually. They don't really know much about God. And Moses starts at the very beginning. It's a good place to start. There's nothing wrong with it. But it's the for the level. And when you think about gratefulness, you could probably write down 10 things right now that you are grateful for the, and you could write them on your bulletin on the side. I call this the baby stage. And there's nothing wrong with that. Everybody starts somewhere, right? It's the provision level of gratefulness. And babies start with milk. And there's nothing wrong with it. It's a good place to start. And so Moses says, start here. It's a beginning point. Learn to be grateful. Begin to express it. I like to get up every morning. And actually, since this series has been going on at our church, I challenge people to be grateful every single morning when you roll out of bed. And I've been doing it myself. And I've been thinking about it. So I write in my journal, what am I grateful for? It's a provisional level for the whatever it is. When my kids were young, my kids are 25 and 28 now. And so they're adults, and one's still on the payroll, one's not. But you know how that goes. But when they were young, they went to Christian camp up in the center of the state here in Michigan, and they learned a song, and it was the Johnny Appleseed song. How many of you ever heard of that? Oh, the Lord's been good to me. And so I thank the Lord for giving me the things I need, the sun and the rain and the apple seed. So that's a provisional thankful gratefulness, right? Johnny Appleseed, if he ever lived, was grateful for the seed and the sun and the rain. And so when they came home from camp, we sang it every single meal. We were grateful for the Johnny Appleseed song. But Moses is simply saying, remember that God's been gracious to you. God didn't force you to do anything. He's not forcing you to be grateful or anything like that. God is not like the utility companies. Consumers Energy gives me a chance to be grateful every month. In fact, if I'm not grateful, they shut off my power or my electricity or my gas. In fact, you get this overdue notice if you're not grateful to the utility companies every single month. I'll bet some of you are overdue in expressing gratefulness, maybe to God, or maybe some of the people in your life that you've taken for granted. And you haven't really said much to them. You haven't practiced gratefulness. Are you long overdue? Practicing gratefulness for the, on the provisional level, is just good manners. It really is. It's not rocket science. But you don't want to stay in the baby level forever. And so you want to graduate into the next level of gratefulness. And so a few hundred years after Moses, David came along. And story of David is he was raised as a shepherd. And I got to see a lot of teenage shepherds all over northern Kenya with goat herds and camel herds. And I could just picture what it would have been like for David to be out there in the desert trying to get a little bit of shade under an acacia tree. But Samuel comes along and anoints David as the new king of Israel when he's a teenager. It doesn't happen right away. There's some time in between. And somewhere along the line, David writes Psalm 23. How many of you can say the first line of Psalm 23? Say it out loud. For the Lord is my shepherd. Yeah. As you go down through that psalm, it comes to these verses. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff, they protect me and they comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup is just overflowing with blessings. That's gratitude. And what I love about this is, while the provisional level was the for the, I'm thankful for the house I have, for the lawnmower I get to drive, for the whatever, this is the next stage. This is the presence level, even when level. Even when, David says, I walk through the darkest valley. I'll bet some of you have walked through a dark valley this year. In fact, I know a couple of stories in this crowd, and I won't mention them, of course, but some of you have been through something hard this year. And this is the even when I walk through the dark valley, when I'm walking through the shadow of the valley of death, you are still close beside me. See, this is a deeper kind of gratefulness. God, your presence hasn't deserted me, even though these bad things have happened in my life. I don't take that as punishment from you. I just take it as being human, and I'm going to walk through some of these valleys, but I'm so thankful that you are present with me. See, this is no longer baby bottle stuff. This is a deeper kind of gratefulness. This is where you graduate to the big boy cup or the big girl cup. And now you start drinking from it. And you know, you discover as you go that even when you're going through something that's difficult and you don't understand it, and you might even have a question like, God, why? What's going on here? Sometimes you will drop and you'll hit bottom, but you won't break. Because you understand that God's presence is with you. This is a big boy cup. It's a big girl cup. How many of you have experienced this kind of gratefulness? And maybe even recently. Maybe you've been bullied at school. Maybe you can't decide on your major in college and you've switched it 3 times already and your dad or your mom's going, that's it. Maybe you've had a health issue. Maybe you've lost a loved one this year. Maybe you were in a terrible car accident and it's left all kinds of pains and arthritis. I don't know. But even when I walk through the dark valleys, see, this is beyond the Johnny Appleseed for the. That's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with for the, but this is even when. Say it out loud with me. Even when, God, your presence is still with me. See, you're no longer singing Johnny Appleseed song when you're in the presence level of gratitude. You're singing a different tune. And there's lots of different tunes, but it might be something like this. When peace, like a river, attendeth my way, when sorrow like sea billows roll. Anybody know this song? Whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say. What is it? It is well. It is well with my soul. God, it's still well. I've gone through some tough times, but it's still well. You haven't left me. I haven't felt you, but my faith tells me you're still present in my life. You prepare the table before me in the presence of my enemies. You see, in this stage of gratefulness, you got enemies. You prepare the table before me, even though I'm going through this divorce. The enemy of divorce, the enemy of my anxiety. I can't sleep at nights, but God, I know that you're preparing the table before me. In my bad health, with working with my mean coworkers, with those ugly things that were said about me on social media, God, you are still with me. Your presence is there. I may drop, but I'm not going to break. Because I'm drinking from the big boy cup now. I'm drinking from the big girl cup. But here's what I've learned about gratefulness. It doesn't stop there. There is a third level. Your gratefulness begins to bless other people in this third level. I want to fast forward you ahead from first with Moses, then we fast forward about 200 or 300 years to David. Now let's go 1,000 years ahead to the Apostle Paul in the New Testament. And he's writing a letter to some church people who are at a place called Thessalonica. And you probably don't know much about that city in Macedonia there, but it was surrounded by paganism. And it was a hard place to be a Christian. Just to be a person of faith, you were persecuted from every side. There were enemies all around you. And Paul is writing this letter just to go, hang on, I know you're under a lot of persecution. I know it's not easy to be a Christian. It's not like living in West Michigan or anywhere else. But near the end of the book, Paul writes this one verse in 1 Thessalonians 5:16. He says, always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful to God in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ. It's that last verse of this chapter that really has caught, part of this verse that caught my attention. We had the provision level. Thankful for the, whatever it is. There's the presence level, even when I walk through the valley. But this one is what I call the purpose level. Give thanks in all. Say that out loud with me. In all circumstances. It's beyond even when. In all circumstances. This is when things are going really, really well or really, really bad. Thank you in all circumstances. When I'm hurt, when I'm scared to death, when I've been beaten up, when I've been criticized by somebody, all those kind of things. Even when my circumstances are not lining up, God, you are still with me in all circumstances. I love this. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you. Sometimes people say to me, well, how do I know what God's will is? I go, well, here's one thing right here. This is for sure. Give thanks in all circumstances. This is grown-up gratitude. This is where you begin to see God is still at work in my life, and there's a purpose. Not necessarily God sent this bad thing into my life. That's not what I'm saying. I never say that. I don't believe it's true. But God works out his purposes in us in all circumstances. Whatever you're going through right now, God has not deserted you. He's at work. In all. And for that, I might not be happy, but I can be deep down grateful. See, that's a deep level of gratefulness that goes beyond all these other ones. Paul had been run out of town in Thessalonica. These angry Jews, as well as the pagans, were trying to kill him. And in spite of all that, he writes this verse, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God at work in you. This is God's will. He's at work in you. You're on his agenda. You're on the front lines. Man, it's cool because God has not deserted you. You can be grateful in all things. When we left Newark to fly to Frankfurt and then to catch another plane to Nairobi, something happened at Newark. We were on the tarmac, and all of you have been in this place at some point, and something happens, and they go, well, it's going to be a few more minutes, folks. And then it's 10 more minutes, and it's 15 more minutes. And the pilot came on and said, there are two more bags in our luggage compartment than we have people for, so we don't know how they got there, and we're going to empty out all the bags and then reload them all and make sure that there's a person to match every bag on the plane. So we were there a while. It delayed us. We got to Frankfurt off schedule. Our flight to Nairobi had already left. And so they rerouted us back through London. It was nice, always nice to go backward on a long trip, you know. And from London, we had to board a different airline, Kenya Air, and fly to Nairobi. And we got there a little late. I was honestly grateful for it because it gave me a whole day to sleep, because I don't sleep good on airplanes, and I did that. But because we were late, one of our teams, we had 15 people traveling, one of the teams was going to drive up the west side of Kenya, a 6.5 hour to get to the site where they were going to spend about a week of their time. And we didn't know this at the time, but while we were in the airport, there was some tribal fighting happening, and we didn't know that. And on the very highway, there were two people murdered by some Pokot people. There was fighting with another tribe. Food and water are getting very scarce up there, plus it's a political season in Kenya. We don't know what the trouble was, but we just know that our contact said, don't drive. And it's a good thing you weren't on the road, because you wouldn't have known this had happened. And so they were able to charter a plane and fly that team right over the problem areas. But see, God's at work in stuff that we think are delays or problems, or this is not in my agenda. God's still at work. And see, God's purpose is still being lived out and worked out in you. This is the level where God's Spirit begins to pour into you, and you start seeing God at work, and in fact, it begins to flow right out of you. There is a little plastic plate here, so for those of you in charge of the building, it's okay. It's okay. But the point is, God's Spirit flows through you and out of you, and you begin to bless other people because you're not shaken by everything, and you're able to express gratefulness, and people look at you and go, wow, that is a person of incredible faith who hasn't lost sight that God's still at work in their life. So where are you at? Are you in the provision level? There's nothing wrong with that. That's a good place to start. Thankful for the husband you gave me. I'm thankful for the chair I've got to sit on here. I'm thankful for the water, right? Nothing wrong with that. But have you graduated to the presence level? Even when I walk through this dark valley, and this year maybe has been tough for you. I don't know what's going on. I know I've had some dark valleys to walk through, but even then, God's presence is there. But even beyond that, in all things, God's Spirit is working through you or through me. And I can see, I might not even see it clearly yet, but I have enough faith to know God's working out His purpose. See, that's a great place to get to. Where are you? What does God need to do in you today? How do you need to open up to the Spirit of God? I know, hurry up. Okay. Let's close with a prayer together. Father, I want to thank you for these wonderful folks, precious folks in your sight. Lord, all of us can fall toward complaining or feeling sorry for ourselves or thinking somebody else is doing us wrong. In many cases, it's legitimate. And sometimes it's hard to remember just to be grateful. And what the spirit of gratefulness can do in a person's life is beyond our imagination. So Lord, for those of us, whoever it is, that are struggling with whatever today, I pray that we might begin to practice gratefulness, begin to express it, begin to say it, begin to tell others, begin to bless people in our lives, and let the blessings come back to us. So I thank you for your Spirit being here. In the strong name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. We're going to stand and sing hymn 593, I believe it is.